Very good. We want to say hello to everybody watching online in North County. God bless y'all. Let's give them a hand. God bless y'all. And we want to also say hello to everybody watching back east who is subject to Hurricane Sandy. We're praying for you. And I want to encourage all of you to go on our website where you can donate to help people back east. There's a whole webpage on our website, so you'll see it there. But I was back there last weekend and actually was getting on a plane at 5:30 in the evening Sunday night, East Coast time, and they were literally shutting down the airport, shutting down. They were evacuating towns. I was in JFK Airport, and they were closing McDonald's and Burger King's in the airport as I was getting on a plane. So we got out just in time. But have a lot of family back there that I saw then that are in it right now, didn't have power for many days. And so we're praying for y'all. And I want to encourage all of us not to forget, because we live in such a beautiful place and the weather's so great here, that we forget that we're in a little bubble. And I want to encourage you to get your emergency plan together. God has not spoken to me or no one's told me anything's coming, but for real, it's kind of common sense. It's coming sometime. We can't live in paradise forever. So I would just encourage you to get your plan together. We had a little scare last year. I can't remember what it was. We lost power for 8 hours or whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. You know, it was a disaster, if you remember. I mean, it was crazy. Imagine a week. I just can't imagine all the food that got spoiled in restaurants and supermarkets and homes. All the food that was refrigerated, gone. Unless something, I don't know. I don't know how that didn't happen and how they're going to replenish all that food. Millions of people. It's a monumental task, but people back east are strong. New Yorkers, New Jersey people are strong. I've seen Governor Christie on TV, the governor of New Jersey. Those guys got a job ahead of them, but we're praying for you guys. They're amazing. Did you see the nurse that had the baby? There was a nurse, and there was a bunch of nurses, but the one that was on TV, they were taking these babies that were days old, couldn't breathe on their own, and they were pumping the oxygen into their lungs, and they were carrying down nine flights of stairs and save these babies' lives. It's just unbelievable that kind of stuff people do. I don't remember the nurse's name. I remember her last name was Condon. I can't remember her first name, but I was tweeting out her name saying, pray for this lady. She's a hero. And I know she was just doing a job, but that's the bomb. I mean, that is amazing. So anyway, pray for them. Also, we have an election this week. It's funny, when God moves and what stuff happens, the news changes. Okay, so I haven't seen too much about the election on TV watching the Sandy hurricane, but we have an election this week. Let me encourage you. Last week we had a guest here, and I sent out an email Monday in response to how the conversation went with the guest. It kind of went in a way we weren't planning. Bottom line is that if you want to get that email that I sent out last week, you can call our office, give us your email address, or get on our email list, and we'll send you the emails. Basically, there is no party or a candidate that has a corner market on God. We just need to vote our biblical values. Don't ever believe that the Bible doesn't apply to every area of your life. So I want to encourage you to vote your biblical values, just like everybody else is going to vote their values. Your values should be the Bible. And whoever's elected president, we're going to pray for that guy and do what we can to support our country. We have the greatest country in the world. As long as God blesses it. And God will bless it if we honor him. It's not automatic. We don't honor God, God's going to ruin his blessing. And so you need to vote accordingly that God's going to bless, that we're going to have laws and regulations that are going to honor God. And if you don't see that, you got to read the Bible. So just because we've been blessed all this time, our country was based on the Bible, was founded by Christians, and we need to continue to follow that, those beliefs. So anyway, let's see your Bibles. Oh, one more time. North County, let's see your Bibles. Always say, hey, word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, first book of the Bible, chapter 12. Hope you all are getting ready for Christmas. Can you believe that? Some of your friends are going to come to church. They get to come to church again on Christmas. Glad you came a few weeks early. Lord, we just thank you for your word and pray you bless us. And we pray for our Christa friends, Christmas and Easter attenders. We pray you prepare their hearts for their one service of the year and that we would be there to invite them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me do encourage you as Christmas is approaching and there are some of your friends going to be looking, oh, where am I going to go on Christmas? That you start inviting them. Start now, okay? And also, Easter, a few months after that, get them ready. We think we're going to have a 3D Easter experience. We're planning on it. I saw it. I was almost crying when I saw this 3D presentation. So we'll as we get closer, we'll tell you if it's really, really going to happen. I don't see any reason why I won't. But we got this 3D Easter deal that is, we didn't make it. Someone else made it, but we're getting it from another church. It's incredible. I mean, it was like this. The story I'm going to tell you is a story that I asked my wife permission to share with you. Now, if you're a single guy or married, or just some guy who's wondering why I had to ask permission, you don't know anything about women or being married. The man is the head of his household, but the woman is the neck, and she can turn you any way she wants you to go. Can I get an amen from all the ladies in the house? Hey. That's right, that's right. So I asked my wife permission. I said, listen, I want to make sure that I'm saying this accurately, because I don't ask for permission a lot of times because it's just stuff that I really remember clearly. I vaguely remember this clearly, implicitly, but when we were dating, we dated for 4 years. I was not a Christian, and I was back and forth crazy, doing all kind of crazy mess, and it was like we were together, we weren't together. I just put her through a lot of stuff. And every now and then she reminds me. And to be honest with you, every now and then out of the blue, I'll just apologize still to apologize to her. We've been 28 years married. So, but when we were going back and forth, she has said explicitly or implicitly to me and or my siblings, my sisters, he needs to decide whether he wants to do this relationship or not. Is he in or he's out? Because it's driving me crazy. And, you know, I eventually, when I got saved, I made that decision. Today I want to ask you a question. It's going to set up the series we're starting today called The Source. I want you to decide today whether you're in or you're out to what we're here for. Because this church exists for something very specific other than having a church service. And before we started the church, I was traveling around speaking at conferences. I didn't need a crowd. Like, this is not here for me to talk. There's something very specific we're here for, and this building was built for a very specific reason, on the backs of a lot of sacrifice, still a lot of sacrifice. We have 140 staff that work day and night, hardest working people in ministry, and deal with demons and stuff all the time, literally. For a very specific reason. And so we want to just clarify as we end the year going into a new year, we want to clarify where you're at. Now, some of y'all are visitors, so this is fine for you. You get to understand what we're about. And if you opt out, fine. There's over a thousand other churches in San Diego you can go to. Some of y'all have been here for a while, and I don't know where you're at. Some of y'all are on fire, like the guy in the video who's been here, like you said, before you even started the church. Okay, so I just want to have that conversation with you. Now, the title of the series is called The Source. Now, when you see that, you think of, okay, God is the source. It must be. And yes, God is absolutely the source of all good things. Everyone say God is the source of all good things? I'm going to say it three times just so you understand you're very clear that I believe that. Say it one more time. God is the source. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry, my bad. We'll say it real slow. Our guy will say, on three, 1, 2, 3. Okay, just one more time, just so we're clear. One more time. Okay, very good. So when you leave today, please do not say that I mean and believe anything other than that. But the title of this series called The Source is not about God being the source, it's about you being the source. This whole series is about you being the source. Now, Is that a contradiction? Absolutely not. God is the source, but he doesn't want you to be just the subject of the blessing. He wants to bless you so you can bless somebody else. This is very, very important to understand because people have the mentality that they come to church just to receive. Or that you ask Christ in your life because you want to be blessed. And that is not God's intent. It's just not. In 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may comfort others with the same comfort we have been comforted by." You were never intended to just be the receiver of blessings, ever. You are always the giver as well. Okay. And so the reason that we want to make this clear is so when you come and you're challenged to go do, you don't think that that's like, oh, that's just them, us, trying to make you do stuff. No, we are all here to do stuff. God is going to transform the world if he is through people. He's going to help people through people. He can come down and just snap his fingers and everything can be fixed. That's not the way he set it up. He set it up that I'm going to use sinners who I'm going to forgive and work through to help other people. I'm going to use the foolish to confound the wise. If you've ever thought you were smarter than me, that's how God set it up. He would have a fool confound the wise. That's how it does. So if someone calls you a fool, you just say, "Great, and my life is going to confound you, the wise." Okay, so we want to make sure that we're on the same page because this series is going to be about us being the source of blessing to San Diego. Now, our mission here, three very simple words: save, equip, send. Everyone say save. Say equip, say send. One more time, everyone take a deep breath in, say save. Very good, say equip, say send. Our mission, our business, and it's not the Rock Church business, this is every Christian church business by the words of Jesus Christ. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said, that's what you should do. Don't make anything up, that's what you should do. So that includes salvation. It includes, after you get saved, learning and being equipped, and then going and helping somebody else. That's what that is. That's what disciples do. Disciples are not book students or seminary students. That's a student. That's not a disciple. It's different. Some people have I'm going to go to church and I'm going to be a student only. That's not a Christian. You could be a Christian and be a student, but that's not discipleship. God wants you to get saved. He wants you to equip you to then go do something. Okay. So, we want to do that. That's why we exist. We're going to talk about that today. We'll continue to make this clear. And then if you fulfill your mission, you accomplish something, which is your vision statement. Our vision statement is global pervasive hope. Pervasive hope means for every way someone can be lost, we want to provide a way they can be found in the place they have ended up. So when you drive home today and you drive to work tomorrow, wherever you go tonight, if you're going to go out to a restaurant or a club or whatever you're going to do, everywhere you go, there are people who need help. We want to provide help in all those places. Everywhere in this county, there's 183 zip codes. We want to permeate all those zip codes. Every street, every person. That's just too much. How are you going to do that? We will spend the rest of our days trying. So now, why is that important? Because when you hear that over and over again, and by the way, to get there, it requires sacrifice. Everyone say sacrifice. You hear that over and over again, you're wondering, is it ever going to stop? It's never going to stop, that drumbeat. And you may think, I either got to get on board or leave. That's exactly right. That's why I would encourage you. You can sit there and take it, not do anything. I think that would be disingenuous to you and God. But if you say, you know what, I want to get on board with it, great, that's what we want. But if you say, I'm never going to do that, I would encourage you to go to another church where you can sit and do nothing and be comfortable. Now, if you want to do nothing and be uncomfortable, we'll welcome you. But why do that to yourself? Because then what happens is you're like this all the time. And you don't want to equate God to that. And you don't want your Christianity to be that. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want to go someplace and do nothing, that's not biblical. So you're in conflict with God. because it's not biblical. So I just want to make sure, and we're going to talk about this today, that we're all on the same page. Now, how are we going to do this? We're going to talk over the next 7 weeks about the life of Abraham. We're going to glean from the life of Abraham about how he worshiped, how he gave, and how he managed his money, how his faith was tested, and the faith he had. And we're going to glean these ideas so we can become a source, like he was a source of blessing to so many people. Now, glean is not a United States, well, I shouldn't say United States, our culture today word. But it really has significant meaning. Now, when you go to, I'll give you a little illustration, when you go to In-N-Out Burger and you buy French fries, their French fries are potatoes that they go from being a potato through the what is it called? No, the gutter? The cutter. Yeah, the cutter. It goes through the cutter. I have yet to get that all morning. That's I didn't know what to call it. And it goes right into the grease, and then it goes into your mouth. Okay? So that when that French fry thing goes to the cutter, and it goes into the you order it, and it goes into the thing, and then you put it on your tray or in your bag. If French fries fall off the edge, you know how French fries fall off the edge? They get in the bottom of your bag or on the tray? Yes? Those French fries don't belong to you anymore. This is the law. This is in the Constitution. That once they fall off that little tray they put you, or if it's a bag, once they fall out, their community friend, anybody could grab it. How many of you did not know that? You didn't know that. It's true. You can go in and out, just like walk up and down and think, In the Old Testament, when you were harvesting, like say, apples or wheat, if something fell on the ground, the Bible Old Testament law would say you have to leave it there for the poor people and they would come glean. That was how they took care of poor people. This is true. The book of Ruth, she was gleaning grain when she met her husband Boaz. He owned the land. So when you say you're going to glean from somebody, you are learning their little leftovers from their life. You're watching their life, and you're just picking up the scraps of what you can learn from their life. So we're going to do that with Abraham, okay? Now let's read chapter 12, verse 1. Abraham was a source of blessing because the true source, God, blessed him and passed a blessing through him to the whole world. Look what it says. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land I will show you." Say, "I will." So here's what he says: "Abraham, I want you to leave everything that is comfortable. I want you to leave everything that's familiar. I want you to leave your polytheistic, all these, your multiple gods and your culture. You're going to go to a place I'll show you later. You're going to go to a place and worship one God where your family worships many gods." And it says, verse 2, "I will make you a great nation." Say, "I will." "I will bless you and make your name great." Say, "I will." "And you shall be a blessing." "I will bless those who bless you." Say, "I will." "And I will curse him who curses you." Say, "I will." "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So here's what he's saying. When he's saying, "I will," it's a promise. It's future. I'm going to take you to a place that I'll show you later. Some people want to know everything now. God says, too bad. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so when God's calling you to do something and you're like, "God, can you give me more information?" He says, "If I wanted to give you more information, I would have given it to you. I know what you don't know, and I know what you know. Trust me." He said, "Abraham, I want you to leave everything you know to be secure, and I want you to go a place I'll show it to you later. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you, and then through you, you are going to be a source of blessing to the world." Abraham is the father of faith of three major religions. Islam claims that Abraham is their father because Abraham had a son through his wife's maid called Hagar, and the son was named Ishmael. So the Muslims say Abraham is our father through Ishmael. It's funny. Abraham was, like, I think, 75 years old. His wife said, "Abraham, you know, we don't have any kids, and, you know, I'm just guessing she was like this, right? Abraham, I don't know why I did that. Abraham, we. We don't have any kids, so you can have a kid through my maid. And Abraham said, okay. You know, I mean, I was there. I'm just guessing the brother was probably said, fine, you sure? Okay, I'm not going to argue. And then they had a baby. And then God said to Abraham, Abraham, you need to have a, you're going to have a baby with your wife when he was 100 years old. And Abraham laughed, like, come on, I'm 100. I mean, the shop is closed, brother. It's 100. I'm 100. They had Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. That's all the tribes of Israel. So Abraham's the father of Islam. Abraham's the father of Judaism. And then through the Jews came Jesus. He's the father of all three faiths. God says, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a blessing to the world. So here God looks at you. And he says, I'm going to bless you, and you are going to be a source of blessing to your family, your employees, fellow employees, your employer, your neighbors, the people you play softball with, whoever you come in contact with, your Starbucks counter girl that you see every day when you're going in and buy your Frappuccino latte. You are going to be a source of a light to them. That's what you have to. So the question is, you might be saying, I don't have nothing to do with that. Then these being here is not going to rub you right. I shouldn't say it's not going to rub you right. You may eventually win you over so you realize you see the light. But we need to be on the same page if that's what we're trying to accomplish. Because if you're not, you won't be fulfilled. And church will not be what it's supposed to be for you. We want it to be what it's supposed to be for you. Amen? And we want to all go in the same direction so we get accomplished what we're trying to get accomplished. Because we really want to be a blessing to San Diego. The whole county. That is what we live, eat, and breathe here on this staff. That's what I think about every day. Every single day. Every single day. Three words. In your notes. Number one. And these are questions that you write yes or no to. Your feeling is your answer. Do you want to be a source of eternal salvation? Now, let me be clear. You are not the salvation. You're not dying for them on the cross. You're not forgiving them of sins. You're not wiping their sin away. You are the person through whom the gospel is going. When I got on a plane last week to go to back east, 5-hour flight from here to Philly, these two women sat next to me, and before they sat down, I mean, literally, they were putting their bags in, and before they were like right here. They weren't here yet. They were right here. I said, we are going to talk for 5 hours. This is going to be a 5-hour. Now, it wasn't because they were talkers. It was because before they sat down, we had a few words, and it was just like, oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. And one of the first things they said to me, oh, you look like President Obama. I said, girlfriend, if I was President Obama, I would not be sitting in coach with you. That's what started the conversation. Me and these two ladies, they were about my age. They were my age. Lived in Philly. We talked for 5 hours. 5 and a half, walking out the airport. And right about the 2.5-hour mark, we started talking about Jesus. Matter of fact, they asked me, what do you do? And this is when we first started. I said, I can't tell you. Let me tell you in an hour. And they went, what does that mean? Oh, you're spying on us. They had all these theories about why I wouldn't tell them. I said, I don't want to tell you. I said, let me tell you in an hour. Let's just talk. Let me ask you. And I started asking a bunch of questions about their life. You want to know about us, but you want to tell us about you. You must be a speaker. You must be this. You must be that. You must be this. And I said, look, stop trying to figure it out. Do you care that the people you meet or know are going to heaven or hell? Do you care? And do you care enough to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation to help them not go to hell? That is a fundamental question, because we at The Rock really care. Really. Before we were in this building, we were in another building in Sara Mesa, and the community group there didn't want us to come. So we had a meeting one afternoon, and I went to the meeting. It was about 20 people from the community. And they were asking us all these questions about the church. They were just, we don't want you to come here, da 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 da. And I said, you know what, I need to get this meeting on track. So I said, I'll share my testimony. How God saved me from cocaine and this and that. And I figured, you know, maybe we can get it focused. So I shared my testimony. And one of the first things someone said, are you going to have people who do drugs come to this church? I was like, you missed the whole point. So then I said, I sure hope so. Matter of fact, there's some of y'all in here who get high right now. To them. And this one girl's like, she's like this. I never, ever, and I say I, God, us, never want all y'all to be saved. I'll say it this way. I never want to have a room full of people who are all Christian. Or everybody's in a small group. Or everybody's walking with the Lord great. That means we've ceased to fulfill our function of getting non-Christians. Now, do I want all of y'all to be saved and all of y'all to be in small group, community group? Absolutely. But if you do that, you will go get someone who's not. But when you go to churches where it's like a little country club, members only, I was talking over here to one girl one day, I was talking over here to a young lady one day, and someone came to me and said, oh, look how she's dressed. She looks like a prostitute. I said, because she is. And she's nicer than you. I didn't say that, but I'll say it now. Right. The point is this. The question is, do you really care? Because when you come here, you need to know that there's going to be a whole lot of people around you that you will never hang out with. And by the way, they don't want to hang out with you either. But with Jesus, that can happen. And when you leave, that you leave understanding the goal of trying to get other people saved. You know, when you go and watch a football game, which is going to be a bunch of football games on today, you're going to see them have a huddle. And in the huddle, they're going to talk. And they're going to call a play, and they're going to remind people. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the huddle. I don't have time to down and distance, where we are in the field, the clock, what the other team probably, there's a lot of stuff being said in addition to the play. And when we run this play, watch out for this, watch out for this, so-and-so's hurt, I'm going to come to you, da-da-da-da-da. So it's very strategic on offense and defense. Okay? A lot of said. When they break the huddle, they execute the play that was called in the huddle. You do not watch, at least I don't know anybody who watches football to watch the huddle. You watch what they do after the huddle. Can I get an amen? This is our huddle. This is not it. This is not the play. This is the huddle. It's when you leave. That's when you execute the play. So one of our plays that we run every single day is save. You do not want to be on a line going into heaven. I don't think it's going to happen this way anyway, but you get the point. You don't want to be a line standing in line going to heaven and see a line of people who are going to hell, and someone in that line who you know, known, knew, spent time with, spent 5 minutes with, say, you never told me you were a Christian, and I'm going to hell, and it's too late for you to help me. Why didn't you ever tell me? Now, I don't think it's going to happen, because you're going to be going to heaven. You're not going to have that bad thought, but they very well could have that bad thought because they're going to hell. You don't want that. Why? You remember when you were in high school and you were so embarrassed to, you know, you had a zit. And you were just tripping because you, matter of fact, when I took my senior picture in high school, I had this big unicorn zit right here. And my sister, who's a makeup queen, put makeup this thick all around his zit. And you remember those days when you had a zit or something happened and you were so embarrassed because you were so ashamed in front of these people who you would never see after you got graduated. And you look back and go, what was I tripping on? We play the same game today. Bring your Bible to work and read it at your desk on your break. Some of you will be so embarrassed to do that. Why? You're worried about man. You shouldn't be. You have what they want. All day long they're in work trying to get what you have. Peace with Jesus. Number two. Do you want to be a source of encouragement for spiritual growth in someone's life? The Bible says in Matthew 28:19, to make disciples of all nations. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things you've heard from me, teach faithful men who can teach others also. Are you the person who says, Lord, I just want to get good stuff, but I don't want to share it with anybody. I'm not a teacher. I don't like talking to people, or whatever, whatever. Those are poor excuses to disobey God. And let me tell you something. You will never, ever, 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 ever learn in this room, listening to me talk, as much as you can by taking it or what you read and sharing it with somebody else. I'm going to say it again. You will not learn in this room or any classroom, for that matter, more listening than you will when you go try to explain to somebody else. You'll get the information. But until you can explain it to somebody else and teach them, that's when you really learn it. And when you do it, you even learn it to another level. God wants you to make disciples for many reasons, not only for their benefit, but for your benefit. But if you're selfish, and we'll say selfish. If you're selfish, you just say, I don't want to go through all that hassle. And this is a selfishness. I just want what's easy for me. Because this is all about me. And so I don't want to get into all people's lives and have to, you know, schedule stuff and meet with somebody and give up my time and have to work. I don't want all that. That's selfishness, to put it plainly. We want to do that with as many people as possible. That's what we're about. And we need as many people as possible to help as many people as possible. Period. That's what this is about. Church is not Bible school where you come and learn and go home. That's not what this is. That is not what church is. Now, a lot of churches function that way. That's not what church is. Never was supposed to be that way. And the last one is, do you want to be a source of ministry? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, like the 10th book of the New Testament. Ephesians 4. I've had many, many times people come up to me and say, I got a good idea for the church to do. Sometimes I don't even listen. I go, you know what? Is this your idea or is it God's idea? If it's your idea, I'm not really interested. And number two, before you tell me this, understand we already have a lot to do that God's already told us directly. It may be something you're supposed to do, but go ahead and tell me anyway. Do you know that the church's job is not to do what people ask them? Did you know that? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, some of y'all might be like, oh, I didn't know that. Do you know that the church, the leadership of the church's job, part of their job is to equip you to do it? It's not Burger King, have it your way, it's Home Depot. You can do it, we can help. For reals, I'm gonna read it to you. This is Home Depot right here. I'm gonna read it to you. Ephesians 4:11. It says, Ephesians 4:11, he gave some to be prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, because they can do it, and you are there to help them. If you had it in your mind, I go to church, they bless me, and then I go home and live my life and come back a week or two later, and then they bless me again, and then I go home, come back a week or two later, and then they make me feel good again, that is not what this is about. That may be your experience, it may be your habit, but that's not what it was intended to be. It intended to be to help encourage you to go fulfill what God has created you to do. It doesn't mean you stop being your profession. It doesn't mean you leave your job and go into full-time ministry. But it means that in the context of your world, you are a light. And that what God has blessed you with, He directs you on how to be a source of that to somebody else. The reason I'm standing here today, a big reason I'm standing here today, is because two guys on my team were a light and I watched them before I said a word to them. And what God was doing in and through their life was just spilling out on me. I was gleaning it. They weren't even talking directly to me. It was just coming. I was like, I want more of that. And I went up to one of them, and you know what I asked him? I said, will you disciple me? That's what I asked him. Will you disciple me? I remember we were standing in training camp right here at UCSD, or the La Jolla one. What's that, UCSD? And we were in a trailer. We had our training camp up there, or they still do, but in a different place. And I said, will you disciple me? He's 6'4", 225 pounds, big dude. You know, just ripped, real, what's up, brother, like that, real deep voice. And I said, will you disciple me? He said, brother, I'll pray about it. Now, I was a young Christian. To me, that was another way of saying I'll think about it, and I may say yes, I may say no. Now I realize that was the proper answer because he shouldn't just jump in it, but he did. And we met every week. We worked Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday was our day off. We met on Tuesday. Me, him, and two other guys. And then we had Bible study with the team on Wednesday. Then we had chapel on Saturday. And he gave us scripture to memorize. We would be in the training room getting ice, and he would say, brother, what's your verse in front of everybody? I was like, now? You ashamed? Is there a problem? I had to tell him the verse, or verses. If you know, when you go to Qualcomm Stadium, it used to be Jack Murphy, they have elevators. Well, our locker room was in the basement. So to go to practice, we had to get on the elevator, go up to the main floor, and go to outside the parking lot and practice. So we're in the elevator, and it's like 5,000, whatever the limit of weight is in the elevator, we doubled that. And there were some guys on our team who were scared of, they were claustrophobic, so we would get them in the middle of all the guys, and we would start jumping up and down, literally. And the guy was like, stop, stop, no! This guy started to go in shock, right? So we're in the elevator, and we're all like this with our shoulder pads and everything, and Sherman, who's the guy I'm talking about, who would say, yo, Brother Miles, what's your verse? It's like, right now? Yes. Boom, 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 boom. Who's doing that for you? Who do you do that for? How are you going to know your purpose in life? We want to multiply that 1,000 times, times 1,000. We don't just want to have meetings. And so this series is going to challenge you to be the source. Whatever God has called you to do to help us accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. Now, I want you to take out your communion. North County, take out your communion. You should have a little communion cup. Do y'all get that? Hopefully so. If you don't have a communion cup, just lift your hand up. There is one thing that Jesus said, do in remembrance of me, and it was take communion. A lot of people, when they think of Jesus and Christianity, they think, I want to be blessed. I'm going to be happy. Get rid of my problems. Jesus said, no, you're going to die. When you take the bread and the juice, you are acknowledging that you know he died for you, that he suffered, that he bled, and that his physical body was nailed to wood. He was tortured. And so we take this acknowledging that not only did he do that for us, but he requires us to deny our own self and die to our own self and follow him. Lord, we take this bread and we acknowledge that it's your body. We acknowledge that you broke it in front of your disciples. You said, take, eat, this is my body. So we take this bread and we acknowledge that not only did you die for us, but we must die for you. In Jesus' name, amen. He He took the cup. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant that was shed for the remission or forgiveness of sins of many. When your sins are forgiven, your mind is cleansed, you begin to think things that are different. Things that scared you before don't scare you. Desires you had are gone and changed. It's never about your power, your wisdom, your ideas. It's just not. It's about God's. But you have to willingly submit yourself to Him. This is symbolic of your submission. It's symbolic of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ on the cross. Lord, we thank you for the blood. And Lord, we pray that you cleanse our mind, our hearts. We pray we can be a blessing to those in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things. We are in the process of transforming our service flow, where we don't want to break the worship flow into the sermon. If you notice today, there weren't a lot of announcements during the service. It was just worship. Saw a video. We did an offering real quick. We're moving to where we can do the offering at the end. And it's a very scary proposition for us because we may get to the point where we have it when you're walking out. But if you really want to give, it'll be available to you. Matter of fact, we encourage you to give online. You don't have to worry about it. The reason being is we want, as you worship, go right into the Word without as few interruptions as possible. When we get to the end, we can do our announcements and offering at the end. We did the offering in the middle today, but we're moving in that direction. So what we're going to do now is we're going to show a short video, and then we're going to have one last worship song and dismiss you. But let me say this before we do that. Two things. Next week's sermon, I want to highly encourage you to come to. There are a few sermons during the year that I really feel like this is one of the most important ones that I have ever given. So I want to encourage you next week to come and bring a friend. And by the way, come on time so you can get all the worship. And number two, I want you to think this week, starting right now as you walk out of here, do you want to be a source of blessing to people? Do you want God to work through you and other people? Now, if you say no, there are implications. You have the freedom to say no, but you're telling God, I'm not interested. You need to talk to God about that. Because that's not what he's buying. He ain't selling that. That's not the kind of relationship he wants. It's like my wife, girlfriend at the time, I don't want this kind of relationship. I want this kind. So tell me what kind you want to have so I can be out if I know. So you need to be clear with God. But I want you to be asking God for opportunities. Lord, show me where I can help. Show me where I can be generous. Show me where I can be kind. Show me where I can be encouraging. You go to Starbucks, literally, you're going to go someplace and get something to eat. Be very kind to the person serving you. Give them a generous tip. Be courteous. Be patient. Be nice. I see Christians be idiots all the time. It's shameful. Shameful. Don't change when you leave here. So I want to challenge you to just ask that question. Do I want to be the source of the love of God to the world or not? And then if you say no, then ask yourself, how could you be a Christian and say no? I don't get, that's not a Christian. I don't get that. So I just want you to think about that and think about how your walk with God is to be. Okay? So let's watch this video, and then we're going to have worship, and then they'll dismiss you.
Hey Rock, Mingo here, pastor of 1825. Thanks for joining us as we learned how God best works in us so that he can ultimately work through us. We're a multi-site church with a vision to establish pervasive hope on every street and with every person. And we'd love for you to get connected in community through community groups. It's a great way by which you can grow deeper in your faith through relationship. There's tons of ways that you can serve here at The Rock also. You can get that information in the lobby or on our website. Here's how you can establish pervasive hope right now. In a few short weeks, Toys for Joy is going to be happening, which means that The Rock is going to be serving hundreds of families in need. Three ways that you can get involved are donate a toy, donate some clothing, or actually serve at the event. You can get all that information online or in the lobby. Thanks for joining us today. There are people in the lobby excited to help you out. Have an awesome week.
Oh, here I stand, arms open wide. Oh, I am yours and you are mine.
Come on, lift it up.